Hi again, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Ask the Blood Detective. I am the Blood Detective, Dr. Michael Walden. I'm the Director of Longevity Services at Integrated Medicine of Mount Kisco, located in Westchester, New York. For those of you who are interested in sending me your show ideas and your questions, because you're going to have a lot of them during this part six of my series, Autism Epidemic, during which I've talked about autism and autism spectrum disorders and the issues surrounding that, please do give me a call at 914-242-8844 or send me an email. Go to the website www.intmedny.com or blooddetective.com. And, you know, for those of you who have been following the show, you know that we've been speaking about ASDs or autism spectrum disorders because it is an epidemic. As I open each show by reminding everyone that at least 1 in 60 children are affected with this problem, and it is a pervasive one that requires, by its expression and definition, a holistic approach, and the medical and nutritional literature is absolutely stacked in favor of evidence that suggests a smartly designed nutritional program that looks at environmental impacts upon the genes, looks at the individual needs of each child affected with ASDs or adult, uses careful laboratory work, questionnaires, assessments, and nutritional visual exam. All of that is included in my Blood Detective workup. It's a very thorough workup. You know, if we use just one thing that seems to sound right at the exclusion of others, I just find that people waste lots of time. So let me begin now by continuing my discussion with nutritional influences. And I ended the last show by going over the various dietary considerations that may benefit those with ASDs. But I want to emphasize that I develop diets and nutritional and lifestyle plans based on individuals. So I wouldn't put everyone on a ketogenic diet, or I would modify aspects of it and combine it with certain food allergen elimination that I've identified. I would remove genetically modified foods. There's many, many considerations. I'd emphasize foods that have, let's say, high sources of choline, because choline is required for brain development. There's many considerations. And I'm not merely focusing on just nutritional deficiencies. Of course, those are issues, but there are nutritional excesses. Many well-meaning parents have caused toxicities in their children, which create other health problems, of course. And there's also the concept of optimizing nutritional levels. So in my interpretation of laboratory work done in children or adults, I'm always looking to optimize the level of a nutrient, not just get it in the normal range, but a child might need much more vitamin D than another, or more choline than another, or more DHA, omega-3 oil, than another. The list goes on and on. So it's important to look at the laboratory work. I am not suggesting that people just run out and have their children take all of these nutrients. In fact, I prefer to make customized supplements for my patients when possible, because I could put 50 different nutrients in a powder or in a capsule that I have chosen at the right dose of pharmaceutical grade nutrition, which we know is count-onable, and we want to start that and continue it for as long as possible. So an example of a very important set of nutrients are flavonoids, which are various compounds in plants, and they reduce oxidative stress in the brain. The brain is like a slab of butter, in a sense. If you leave it on the counter for 3 days, it's going to oxidize, it's going to break down. The neurons are going to break down, the neurotransmitters aren't going to work. That is brain dysfunction, and that is ASD. And I also measure through the lab whether or not the flavonoids I give and other forms of antioxidants help. Flavonoids also modify hormone effects, many, many effects upon mood. There's different types of flavonoids, too many to get into today, but we want to consider them all with each patient. And we know also that we need to focus nutrition on improving mitochondrial dysfunction. The mitochondria, known as the powerhouse of the cell, is in many cells of the body and is needed for cells to produce energy to do work. And we know that pretty much across all the ASDs, there's reduced mitochondrial function. And many of the nutrients I'm describing here, they help enhance mitochondrial function. I measure antibodies against the mitochondria that we do not want to see. Antibodies prove that the immune system is attacking the child's mitochondria, and we need strategies to reduce those. There are also lycopene, which is another plant compound, natural compound, that tends to be low in the blood of many kids with ASDs. Vitamin E, vitamin A as well. So we want to correct all of these things. The doses must be appropriate for the child. Not every one of these nutrients is appropriate for each child. We always want to look at food first, but these children with ASDs simply cannot eat well. We all know this. Studies have shown there are many, many nutritional imbalances in children with ASDs, and we need to create powders and capsules for these kids to concentrate these needed supplements that otherwise, if they could eat them, even if they could, they'd become morbidly obese trying. We know that the importance of essential fatty acids, which are polyunsaturated fatty acids, their effects upon the nervous system and nervous system and brain development cannot be underestimated. We also know that these essential fatty acids, when of course they're clear from contaminants, they protect the brain from neurotoxicity and inflammation, and that was studied in rat models of ASD, and I've seen this with many children as well. So very, very important to get the doses right. We can't just take the doses on the side of the bottles. They have nothing. Do you think these people at the nutritional manufacturers know your children? And do you really think that these different types of nutrients found in health food stores are all the same quality? They are not. Many of them are just absolute garbage. Green tea is one of my favorites. The concentrated crude tea from mature leaves may be the best for those with ASD because the crude green tea from the mature leaves has more RNA in it, which helps develop the genetics of the child, which is important. Also, green tea is an immune-modulating plant element known as a polysaccharide. Very, very important for the immune system. We know that the immune system in many of the ASDs are disrupted. Many of the mushrooms have been shown to reduce inflammation in the brain and also to improve the immune system. There are different types of mushrooms. Choline, very fundamental nutrient for brain development. There was a study that took, they examined the intake actually of prenatal and early postnatal periods in mothers and they showed in their offspring, and they showed that it's so neuroprotective that it should never be left out, and for the entire life of the person afflicted with ASDs. And just eating choline-rich foods like eggs or beef liver and yogurt milks, you know, legumes, nuts are good sources, cruciferous vegetables, the concentrations are just too low. But we want to encourage those changes in the diet as well. Melatonin, very important, but to get effects of reducing the various health issues in those with ASDs, you have to give as much as 10 milligrams of it per kilogram of body weight. So I'm not suggesting you run out and do that. All these things must be done under supervision, but low levels of melatonin metabolites have been found as a frequent problem in ASD. Coenzyme Q10. One study showed that as little as 4.5 milligrams of kilogram of body weight improved ASD symptoms in children ages 3 to 6 years, which had decreased brain levels, and in only 3 months. And the daily dose on average was about 100 milligrams. And then there's the use of GABA. GABA, aminobutyric acid, given by mouth, reduces stress, it reduces anxiety, it improves immunity. And there was a wonderful study in the journal of Biofactors that showed that after 60 minutes can diminish anxiety. So important. And these little kids with ASDs, they're very anxious. And when you administer GABA to a mom during pregnancy and at the time of birth, that can prime the brain, you know, really reset the brain after birth for proper development. This is huge, huge information, all evidence-based. And then there's the use of reduced glutathione. Many of you are under the impression that orally administered reduced glutathione is not absorbed. That is a lie. That was never true. that was some perpetuated lie in the holistic field. We know it's true. We've got many studies. I've seen it work in my patients. Glutathione levels are usually low in the brain. And when they're low in the brain neurons cannot be protected, and we have developmental problems. But when you give the proper glutathione in the context of appropriate treatments, you protect the brain nerve cells. You can actually slow the development and progression of many neurodegenerative diseases like multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, the list goes on and on. And then the use of hormones, natural hormones I prefer like testosterone or estradiol and growth hormone, all of these hormones maintain brain size and development. And there was a study of about 126 adolescents in the Journal of Human Brain Map that showed that the proper levels of testosterone and estradiol are required for brain volume and overall neurodevelopment. That's the key word. And I should briefly mention that there's a non-drug treatment. It's not really natural. Well, it is natural because it's not drug, but it's done in medicine called transcranial magnetic stimulation, and they've used this in, the use of it in children is growing and in adults for everything from depression to many of the symptoms found in ASDs. So I think this is a very, very exciting area. And now I'm going to jump to the gastrointestinal area and nutrition because we know that the majority of children with ASDs have gastrointestinal problems. And just throwing probiotics or glutamine or aloe vera at these kids is not going to do it. We need a comprehensive approach. I find when I test the blood of many ASDs patients, they have low levels of the immune system called IgA. They may have, which means they may need more zinc, more protein, and they have immune deficiency. They're more susceptible to infections. We have to check those. They may have high levels of another part of the immune system known as IgGs. So we need to figure all this stuff out. Remove the GMO, the genetically modified foods. Remove all the allergic foods. Give the appropriate nutritional supports for the gastrointestinal tract based upon the child's size and other health problems, digestive enzymes. And again, many of you are thinking, this is so much stuff. Again, when you make a customized formula, it's much, much easier. And the more testing you do, the more data points you get, you can really narrow down the need rather than just guessing arbitrarily. So I'm not really a proponent of guessing when I can avoid it. So our takeaway points today are, and just to end our series on autism and ASD epidemic, that, you know, every child is different, and the testing must be specifically geared towards that child. But my blood detective approach looks at multiple systems to develop what I call a metabolic map of each child. I address each and every issue that I find there in all areas. And unless you check all these areas, hormones, toxicity, neurologic, gastrointestinal, you name it, absorption, malabsorption. Unless you look at these things together, you miss things when you break them up into pieces. And I would just encourage you all to know that there's always hope. And lots of kids are getting better all the time. And by getting better, I don't mean they're going to be cured of their ASD. But they can move in that spectrum such that maximization of IQ is there, improved socialization, reduced degenerative disease risk, and all sorts of symptoms and aspects of these conditions can be affected in some way, shape, or form in most children. I want to thank you all very much for listening to this final segment of this topic, and our next topic will likely focus on something very, very different, the second most common infection in the United States, or infectious area of vaginitis. So we'll talk about bacterial, viral, parasitic, fungal vaginitis, and non-infectious vaginitis. My name is Dr. Michael Wall, the blood detective, and I can be reached at 914-242-8844 or at my website at www.intmednY.com or blooddetective.com. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.